I got to thinking as I was preparing for this message that this is not a really good day for me. I haven't really been in the pulpit for a couple of weeks. I've been on vacation, and so here it is, Christmas Day. I've had 2 weeks to prepare, and I haven't said anything in a long time. We may be here for Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve before it's all over with. Seriously, though, I want to thank all of you for being here this morning. Take your Bibles. We're going to look at the lives of the shepherds, some of my favorite characters in the Christmas story. And we're going to talk about how they were able to be the first to hear the good news other than Mary and Joseph, and why it is, and what they share with us as to why we oftentimes do not understand Christmas. Father and God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being in the pulpit again and ask that you would take the words of the Word of God and make them come alive by your Spirit. Father, may we leave here having been in your presence. May we leave here different as those shepherds of old who were just going about their daily business and then you interrupted them. And though they were different from the rest of their culture, because of their profession, they were different after having met Jesus from the rest of the world because of who he is. May we also leave here being different because once again we have encountered the babe of Bethlehem who is the Lord of glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say, amen. If Dan Rather had been living in 1809, his evening news broadcast would have concentrated on Austria, not Britain or America. For the attention of the entire world was upon Napoleon as he swept across Europe like the fire across the prairie in the summer heat and sun. Nothing else was half as significant on the international scene as Napoleon. And the historian's canvas was giving singular emphasis to the bloody scenes of tyranny created by this diminutive dictator in France. From Trafalgar until Waterloo, his name was synonymous with superiority and conquest. At that time, invasions and battles were on the headlines, not babies and bottles and births. But who would be interested in babies, bottles, and births when history was being made all across Europe? What could possibly be more important in the world of 1809 than the fall of Austria to Napoleon? Who cared about little infants born in America and England in that year? For somebody certainly should have. For a veritable host of thinkers and statesmen drew their first breaths in 1809. William Gladstone, the great English politician and prime minister, was born in Liverpool. Alfred Lord Tennyson began his life as a babe in Lincolnshire. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the great Supreme Court justice, cried out for the first time in a hospital in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Edgar Allan Poe, a few miles away in Boston, started his brief and tragic life. And a physician in England named Darwin and his wife called their firstborn son in 1809 Charles Robert. And Robert Charles Winthrop wore his first diapers. And in a rugged log cabin in Hardin County, Kentucky, an illiterate wandering laborer's house was filled with the screams of an infant baby boy who was born to he and his wife by the name of Abraham Lincoln. All that and more happened in 1809, but who cared? The destiny of the world was being shaped by the battlefields of Austria and Europe. No one was paying attention to the real story, which was happening in cribs all over the English-speaking world. Only a handful of history buffs today could even name any of Napoleon's campaigns, but who could measure the impact of all of those little lives that were born in 1809? What appeared to be super significant to the world of the day of 1809 and was the most exciting thing happening on the world stage is nothing more than a Sunday afternoon yawn when you're reading through old dusty history books. And yet, what seems so totally insignificant that year is the very thing that changed history forever. So we go back some 18 centuries before 1809. Same thing's happening. On the world stage, Rome is marching. The Pax Romana is complete. The civil wars are over. Caesar Augustus had conquered Antony and Cleopatra, and Rome was now unified. And so Caesar, wanting to see the extent of his empire, called forth a census over all the world. And everyone was talking about the census. Everyone was talking about Caesar and the might of Rome. And no one was paying attention to a little stable in the middle of nowhere in Bethlehem. Certainly not those who could find no room for him in the inn. And yet there, in the midst of the beauty of holiness, in a little stable, to a young teenage girl and her betrothed husband, Mary and Joseph, was born the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What the world did not know about Bethlehem, God did. And what the world does not know about Christmas today, God knows. And those who know God know as well. You know, it's interesting as I look at the life of the shepherds, I see that the same thing is happening in their lives. A shepherd's life's not real exciting. If you've ever grown up on a farm and worked with livestock, there's not a whole lot going on. Once you feed them or turn them out to pasture, you just kind of stand around and watch them while they do their thing. And these shepherds were doing the same thing. They were being faithful in what they were doing. They knew all about the census. They knew all about Caesar. But they're just out there watching sheep. And in the midst of watching sheep and doing literally probably very little, God intrudes into their lives. And the shepherds were the first to hear the good news. The angels came to them and spoke to them the truth that what was happening in Bethlehem. And the shepherds, having heard what God was doing, quickly went to join him. This Christmas season, in the midst of the hustle and bustle and toil and strife that goes on, and all of the activities you have going on in your life, I wanted you to think like a shepherd. And that is, don't be so busy that you can't hear the message that God is speaking to you about what God is doing around you this Christmas season. It is amazing to me how open people are during the Christmas season to hearing the good news of the gospel. It's amazing. I mean, I have literally been able to do, you can say, well, it's maybe customer service, but I will tell you, it is the easiest thing in the world when you're shopping for Christmas gifts to tell people about the greatest gift God's ever given to this world. I've been able to share the gospel with people who are waiting on me in restaurants. I've been able to share the gospel with people who are helping me wrap packages. Because at this time of year, people's minds are not where they normally are. Because they know something happened in history. And just like the shepherds, while they're going about their duties, doing what they're supposed to be doing, who knows that God may speak into their lives truths that eternally transform their eternal destiny. And you might be the very person that God chooses to speak that truth into their lives. You might be the very person that smiles at them when everyone else has frowned. And when they ask why you're in such a good mood, you can tell them why. Because you have encountered the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, we often miss God's opportunities because we're looking for the grand big display and we miss the little moments that God allows us to have day in and day out. The shepherds were tending sheep in a little moment, and in that little moment, God came and spoke to them about what was happening in Bethlehem, and their lives were forever changed. The second thing I want you to notice is this. God's opportunities to make a difference are usually given to people who are being faithful where they are. Where they are, they're being faithful. The shepherds were being faithful to what they were called to do. Most scholars believe that these shepherds were the shepherds that were tending the flocks that were used for the worship of Israel in the temple. These shepherds were probably those who took care of the temple flocks that allowed for the worship of God Yahweh by all the people of Israel through the sacrificial system. There was an odd twist to that reality because the very nature of their profession, they were ceremonially unclean. How ironic is it that they who made it possible for others to worship God, they themselves could not even enter into the temple. And isn't it interesting that that's the people that God came to first? Not the people who were coming to offer sacrifices, but the people who were willing to do what they needed to do so that others could connect with God. When you're faithful where you are this season, it may be in a job that you don't particularly care for. It may be in a time of sickness or health issues. It may be a time of great turmoil in your life. But when you're faithful where you are with God, I want to share with you this Christmas season that God will meet you where you are and He will use you for His glory. Last night, we open our presents on Christmas Eve. I know for some of you that's a blasphemy, I guess. You know, you can't open them on Christmas Eve. But we, as a family, traditionally, we open our presents on Christmas Eve. Now, there was a reason for that, because I guess, and I talked to my dad about it, he had four very rambunctious kids, and so if we opened them on Christmas Eve, that gave us all Christmas Day to go outside and play with them and leave them alone, I guess, I don't know. But we opened our presents on Christmas Eve, and one of the things that we did, even last night, as we opened our presents and we reflected on God's good gift to us in Jesus Christ, I was reminded again last night of how many times it has been in the process of being faithful that the blessing of God has come. I want to encourage you today and in this coming year, be faithful even in the little things that God has you to do. And you never know how big an impact you will have on the lives of others. Third thing I want us to see from the shepherds is that God's opportunities are usually wrapped in the ribbon of difficulty. God's opportunities are usually wrapped in the bows of difficulty. Look at verses 9 and 10. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Notice what it says. The first thing the angel says to them is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." It is our natural inclination when we hear something from God in a way that we're not expecting it to find all the reasons why we can't possibly do that. It is our natural inclination to find all of the dark clouds in the silver linings of life. That is just how we're wired. Now, I understand that if you're out in the middle of the hills of Judea, or the hills of Bethlehem, and you're watching sheep and all of a sudden the angels appear before you, that's going to be a little out of the ordinary. I understand that. But what's strange is that they would not understand that God is one God who has always spoken to His people. He's a God who's always communicated with his children. And it seems like every time you see an angelic visitation, that phrase is there, "Don't be afraid." This Christmas season, what fear keeps you from responding to the message of God? What fear keeps you from responding if you've never made a profession of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know the Christmas story. You know why God came in the person of His Son. You know that He lived a perfect and sinless life. You know that He died on Calvary's cross and He was resurrected 3 days later. And yet you have never personally received Him as your Lord and Master. What keeps you from doing that? What fear inhibits you What keeps you from opening the gift of eternal life? Are you worried about what friends will think? Are you worried about what family members will think? Are you worried about you can no longer have any fun? I want to tell you, that was one of my big fears. All the Christians I knew were kind of dour and sour, and I didn't particularly care for that. I'm not a person who likes to work that way. If you know me, if you're our guest, you won't know this, but our church family knows this. I'm a person that loves to have a good time. And one of the things I was afraid of is if I accept Christ, I'm going to be as sour and dour as people I know who claim to be Christians. And say, I can't enjoy life. I want to tell you something. That was the dumbest thing I've ever experienced. I want to tell you, I've had more fun, I've had more blessing being a child of God than I ever did when I was lost. It has been a grand adventure with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had more life than I ever had before I knew him. I understand what Jesus meant when he said he came, that I might have life and have that life more abundantly. But all of the opportunities that God will give us always are wrapped in difficulties. In the difficulty of the shepherds, they were afraid. They didn't know what to do. Maybe this morning you're afraid of failing. Maybe you're afraid of the unknown. If you surrender to God, he might send you to the backs. He might send you like he did the Singermans. He might send you to Africa. See, we all have these hidden agendas that we don't know. I wonder sometimes if maybe the reason why the shepherds were the first to hear the gospel is because they were the ones who had the most obstacles. Fourth thing I want you to see is simply this. With God's opportunity will come God's presence. Look at verses 11 through 14. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God is come to the shepherds and the angels, and he is telling them something that is miraculous. And what he is doing them is that he is encouraging them to respond, and he is guiding them in the direction he wants them to go. Notice, they're the ones that tell them where to go. They don't just say, unto you is born a Savior. That would be a wonderful message, but if you were wanting to see where he was born, you would have a real problem unless you were a biblical scholar. Notice it says that a Savior who is Christ Lord is born in the city of David. Now, they would have known what the city of David was. They would have known that's Bethlehem. And then not only will you find the babe born in Bethlehem. Now, this is important because there probably were a lot of other babies being born in Bethlehem at that time. We have someone in here who hopes there's a babe born here pretty soon. I was laughing at Victoria this morning. She was singing the hymns. If you don't know her, Victoria Singerman is our minister of students' wife. And she and he are expecting a child, and she's ready for the child to be born. And she was singing this morning, and she had her hands on her tummy like an armrest. Just like, okay. There were probably a lot of other babies being born in Bethlehem that day. So the question was, how do you distinguish between this babe and any other? Well, here will be the sign. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. There's going to be a lot of babies born, but there's not going to be a lot of them being laid in a manger this day. With God's gift, with God's opportunity comes God's provision. How to know what God's up to in your life this season, what he wants to do in your life, not only today, but the next day. As you listen and you read and you spend time with God, there will be guidance and direction. He won't give you an assignment without first giving you his presence. But then I want you to notice that once they got the good news, this is where a lot of times we fail. Once they received the good news, once God had given them the guidance they needed, they didn't wait around. They didn't find all the reasons why they can wait a while before they respond to God. Look, if you would, in verse 15. So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us, if you got the King James or New King James, you should have the word now there. Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They immediately responded to the message of God. Here's the truth. When you receive light, you either walk toward it or you walk away from it. If you stand still, the light still recedes. This Christmas season is a reminder when God brings light into our life, when He brings direction into our life, when He gives to us what we cannot have otherwise, we ought to embrace it immediately and start walking in that direction. In most of God's people, it's not a question of whether they know the will of God. That's not really the issue. With most of God's people, it's whether they will do it. They've got their own plans. They've got their own directions. They've got their own agendas. The shepherd said, now, we've heard, we go. I want to tell you something about the shepherds, I believe, that we can see in verses 18 and 19. Once you embrace the light and you walk toward the message, it's going to cause you to stop and think about the life you're living. Listen, it says, and those who heard it, that is, the shepherds telling them what they had seen, marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Pondered them in her heart. The shepherds are telling what they had seen. People are marveling that, how in the world can a shepherd shouldn't God have spoken to the high priest first? Shouldn't this message have been told to the workers at the temple? Shouldn't this message of absolute joy, shouldn't it have come from someone else? Certainly not lowly, worthless, stinky, unclean, you've got your adjectives, shepherds. And yet that has seemed to be the direction of God all the time in the Scriptures. In the most unlikely of places, through the most unlikely of people, God does the most amazing things. The whole Christmas story is filled with God doing the unlikely, doing the most amazing through the most unlikely people, the most unlikely circumstances, the most unlikely, and you fill in the blank. They marveled that the shepherds would have this message. And notice what it says, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Now, we don't know how long it took the shepherds to get from the hills to the manger where Jesus was, but I would dare say I've never given birth. It wasn't a long time. Mary probably was still dealing with the pain of childbirth. And she's hearing this message. If you noticed in Luke's gospel, how many times the angels are involved in the message of God? Gabriel comes to Mary, and she doesn't understand the message right off bat, and it says she begins to ponder it in her heart, what this could mean. She gives birth to the Christ child in obedience to the angelic messenger, and now she's hearing the message that the angels portray or proclaim to the shepherds. She's hearing it from the shepherds. And now she's meditating on it. She's pondering, what does all this mean? You know, and that's something that we ought to do today. What does all of this mean? We know the story. We know the circumstances. But do we ever stop long enough to think through and meditate on the reality of what does this all mean for my life. If Jesus is who he says he is, and if this story is the truth, then my life can't be the same as it's always been. I cannot be what I once was. I cannot be involved in my own agendas. I must be involved in his. Because once you understand the message, you really never get over it. I want to say to you this Christmas morn, if you have gotten over the message, if you've gotten over the meaning, and if you've gotten over the Messiah of Christmas, you have gotten over way too much. You need to once again, like the shepherds, come and encounter the babe who was born in Bethlehem and who died on Calvary and was resurrected, the Lord of glory. You need to come once again this Christmas season and marvel at the things that God has done in this world. Because once you meet him, life's never the same. Life is never the same. I love what it says at the end in verse 20. Then the shepherds returned. Now, where did they return? They returned back to the sheep. As the teenagers would say today, what a downer. You get to have all this exciting angelic visitation. You get to run into town. You get to see the Messiah. And now you got to go back and take care of sheep. But they take care of sheep as different shepherds than before. Look at what it says. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They went back to following sheep, but the shepherds were never the same. Their dreary lives had just become a little different because they had just met the Lord of glory. Those who tended the lambs of the flock of the temple had just seen the Lamb of glory, and their lives would never be the same. And once you encounter Jesus Christ, your life will never be the same. If you've never received him, your life is never going to be the same negatively, because you will never be all that God intended you to be. You will never be able to do all that God intended you to do because you've said no to the very heart of Christmas. But if you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, your life should never be the same. Whether it's in the valley or on the mountaintop, it's in the valley with Jesus or on the mountaintop with Jesus. It is Christmas every day. You know, I love to mess with people. I really do. It's one of my things. What I will do is I will wait until January and I will go to the mall and I will start singing Christmas carols in the mall in January. I don't forget last year I did that. I was in Dick's Sporting Goods and the little girl was checking me out and she goes, "Christmas is over." I said, "Over? It's just beginning." I said, I just celebrated the day, but I've got another year and it comes again. And so why wait? I'll just start praising God now for the babe of Bethlehem. See, Christmas is Jesus. And that Jesus who was born and laid in a manger, now is living by his Spirit in my life and in every child of God who knows him. And your life should never be the same again because of it. Let's stand around the room. I know it's Christmas Day, and you just experienced a Christmas miracle if you're our guest. We're done with my sermon before noon. Oh, y'all are so nice. in all seriousness. It's not the length of time or the amount of words, but it is the message. And the message is that God so loved this world that He gave a gift, an incomparable gift, an unimaginable gift. He gave the gift of His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should never perish, but have eternal life. If you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, what more does God have to do? He moved heaven and earth. He took on human flesh. He died that you might have eternal life. If you've never met the Master, what a wonderful gift to receive on the celebration of His birth. If you've never met Jesus this morning, we invite you, as we sing, to come down the aisle. Let heaven take you by the heart, and let us take you by the hand and tell you how you can come to know the living, reigning, ruling Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus. But if you know Him this morning, have you gotten over the wonder of it all? One of my favorite Christmas carols is, "I wonder as I wonder how this could be." I've been a Christian now longer than I was a non-Christian. But I'm going to tell you something. I've never gotten over the wonder of it all. I still, every September 5th, I take just a few moments and ask the Holy Spirit to remind me of what it means to be lost in this world and remind me what it means to be His child. And if you've gotten over that this morning, maybe you need to come and kneel, and the gift you need to give God is a repentant heart, saying, "Lord, forgive me for once again forgetting what Christmas is all about." Maybe you're looking for a church home. On Christmas Day, you've attended this service and you sense this is the place God wants you to be. We'd love to introduce you to this church family and how you can become a part of this family. Whatever you do, do it today. Nothing more is ever necessary, but nothing less is acceptable either. Come, even as we sing, Father and God, in the name of Jesus, do what only You can do. By Your Spirit, give men and women, boys and girls, the freedom to respond, even as we sing and celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.